We thank God. I just pray that we keep Pastor Vaughn and the missions group that is leaving, going to India, and they'll be there, and keep Alice in your prayers, because she's going to be longer there than anyone. She's going to be there for 3 months, you know, a new experience for all of us. And, for all those who haven't ever went on a mission trip, I used to go to Africa twice a year for 5 or 6 years. I haven't been in a couple years, but I know this is the year that I'll get back on the road and start doing the things that God is asking me to do. But I encourage you, if you never went, go. Only because we take so much for granted with our Christianity. We take so much for granted for living in America. Yes, this is the most blessed country in the world. But when you go and you see how other people live compared to the way that we live, when we complain that we don't have no hot water, they don't have no water. Amen? They complain that it's a little, we complain that it's too cool, it's too hot, but they sleep out under the stars, you know? We complain about the food and the things that we complain about, but these people don't have food, you know? And that's the reality of what the rest of the world is compared to this world that we live in called the United States of America. That's why everybody is dying, wanting to come here. That's why people will jump on a log of wood and float from Cuba just to get to the shores of America, because they realize this is the land of plenty. We live in the land of plenty, and all we want to do is complain. But it's time to stop complaining. It's time to stop complaining about all the things that we want, you know? Because Jesus said, lay up for treasure in heaven. Don't lay up treasure here on this earth where the moss could eat it and it's going to rust away. And you ain't staying here anyway. So why are you investing all your time in a place that we're not going to stay? This is not our home. We are just sojourners. Amen? But we have to get to the place where our hearts and our minds are focused on the lost, those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that's what this is all about. That's what coming together is all about. That's what the fire of God is all about, that it purifies our lives and cleanses our lives and puts the light of Christ in us, so that we are able to go out into this world, into our neighborhoods, into our families, into our jobs, into the supermarkets, wherever we are. That is my prayer, because we're going to start revival starting tomorrow. Fasting. Not a revival. We're already in revival. Oh, I like this one better, too. All right. Now I see what Steve's talking about. Okay. Yeah. Because we are starting a fast. All right. 21 days. Of seeking the Lord's face and abstaining. And it's more than just giving up of stuff. You should be seeking God. One of my desires in the fasting for me is, because last year we were fasting, and at the time the vineyard was fasting, we had no idea, because we didn't know who they were. They didn't know who we were. All right? But we were praying for revival. We were praying for spiritual manifestations of the gift, and for financial blessings that God could use us to reach out to other people. And lo and behold, that you all were fasting for the same thing. And then I came here in February, and it's getting ready to be February next month. And listen, here we are again. Now we're just one big family. Amen. See how good God is? Because we pray for revival. Come on, that's right. Bless the Lord. We pray for revival. And God brought revival, and he brought it right here to Kingston, New York. We didn't have to get on a plane to go nowhere. We didn't have to spend no money, no hotels and food and all that. God brought it right here, right in our backyard. So it's time for us to really start thinking about what God has done in our midst and start grabbing a hold and embracing what God is doing in each and every one of our lives. There's people drove down from Glens Falls, right? That's where you're from, Glens Falls or Clifton Park. Close enough, all right? Up past Albany, come on. People on a Sunday night, young people, all right? Just to be in our midst. There's something going on here in Kingston, amen? There's something going on in the people of God, and you have to realize that. But my thing is this year that I want to touch God in such a way that no matter where I'm at, if God says heal somebody in the supermarket, they're going to be healed. Amen. I want to hear the voice of God this year so much that God, that wherever I'm at, that I want to be used by you, God. How many feel that way? For real. This ain't just being hype. I'm not a hype preacher. I don't want to hype you up, because it ain't about hype. It's about moving in the gifting that God has given us. Amen. Because the Bible, let's turn to Romans. All right. Okay, there it is. I thank God for people in the house. because as I was kneeling down praying here, okay, a voice spoke into my ear and said, hey, listen here, young man. I'm about to hit you with that revival spirit. And I'm going to hit you, okay, with a new thing and a new word. And you ain't going to preach what you were supposed to get up here and to preach. So here you go. Let's throw this out the door, okay, because I'm going to be obedient to God. Amen. Let's take this one, too, and let's get rid of him. Because I'm going to be obedient to God and preach what God just dropped in my spirit. Because the problem with a lot of us is that we truly don't know our purpose. Amen? We truly don't know our purpose in God, in Christ, in his church, with his anointing, with all the giftings that God has given to us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Amen? Turn to the book of Romans, okay? In Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 29, which is part of our reading, which we're going to get to. Verse 29, it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, our purpose, no matter what we do in church, yes, we come here to sing. Yes, we come here to praise God. Yeah, we come here to give our tithes, to take care of the house, and to do everything that we have to do. But we have to understand that through Jesus Christ, the one thing that God did for you and for me, our purpose is to allow the Holy Spirit to conform us into the image and likeness of the Son of God. That's your purpose. If you didn't know what your purpose is, that's your purpose. To put down your ambitions, put down your desires, put down all your agenda, put down all that stuff. Yeah, I have a doctrine of divinity. Yeah, I went to school for years, but guess what? That ain't it. I know that's not it. Because there's still some things about me that is still about me. But the Bible says that whom he foreknew, he also predestined, which means each and every one of our lives has a predestination to it. Regardless of your education, regardless of your family background, regardless of how much money you have or how much money you don't have, that's not going to stop God's plan for your life. There is nothing in this world that's going to stop God's plan for your life except for you. You are the only one that's going to stop God's plan for your life according to what this word says. Because it said whom he foreknew. Because if we go back to Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. Well, what likeness? The spiritual likeness of God. He foreknew us before the foundations of the earth. This is what this is talking about. Because it said he created the heavens before he created the earth. See, our life, our spirit, everything about us, our real makeup was created long before God created this earth. Long before that. See, because rebellion did not start here on the earth with Adam. Rebellion started in the heavens with Lucifer, Satan, who is the devil. That's where it all started. That's why he says, I got to create a new heaven and a new earth, because he got to take care of the rebellion that was up there in heaven as well as here on the earth. Amen? But we have to understand what God wants from us. To conform means I got to come into agreement with what God's will is for my life. And that will is that you be conformed into the very image and likeness of his son. That is God's purpose for your life. Because if you go to verse 28, just jump up a little bit, it says, and we know that all things work together, okay, for good, for those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. His purpose for your life is that you be conformed into the image and likeness of his son. What was Jesus like? If we go to John 1. Amen. What was he like? What was Jesus like? If we want the likeness of God. The image and likeness. The image is just a reflection. Okay, when he said, let us create man in our own image and create him in our own likeness. That image is a reflection of God. When you look at your life, Think about your family. Think about your friends. Think about your associates. Think about yourself in school. Think about yourself on the workplace. Think about even yourself in the church. Do I reflect the image of God everywhere I go? Because that's what an image is. An image is a reflection. When you look in that mirror every day, that's a reflection of yourself, right? But according to the word, when God said, let us create man our own image and likeness, and let them have dominion over the works of our hand, let's push the envelope a little further. Because, see, when I go into jail, I teach the gangbangers, I go in the street and I teach them all. You already have authority. He said, let them have dominion over the works of my hand. That means, brothers, you already got authority. You don't have to have four or five women to make yourself feel like I am somebody. Why? Because God created you with authority to reign and rule over this earth. That was the only reason why I was doing what I was doing, because I didn't understand who I was in Christ. But the moment I understood who I was in Christ, things changed in my life. Now I have my own business. I'm the boss. I'm an authority. I'm a preacher, pastor. I'm an authority. No matter where I go, I got authority. No matter where Jesus went, he had authority. He had authority over the natural things of the earth because he walked on the sea. They said, who is this? What manner of man is this that even the waves and the wind obey him? That's authority. When's the last time the waves and the wind obeyed you? Huh? But see, if we're going to be created into the image and likeness of Christ, when are you going to start speaking to the wind? When are you going to start speaking to them waves that keep hitting you all the time in your life? When are you going to start speaking to those things in your life, or allow the Holy Spirit to start conforming to your life to what God really wants? John 1 and 14, it says that, and the Word, because it talks about in the beginning, verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, that was full of grace and he was full of truth. We have to ask ourselves, what am I full of? All right, don't answer that now, okay? Don't answer that now. But on the real side, what am I full of? Because if I am being conformed into the image and likeness of him, first thing I got to understand what he was full of. What he walked in every day of his life. Jesus walked in the grace. And it's not the grace, because sometimes we just look for grace. Thank God for God's grace that he saved our sins. Thank God that he took care of our salvation. But grace is also that enabling power to get the job done. God, thank you for your grace. Yeah, I thank him that he saved me and took care of it. But I also thank him that he empowers me to do everything that he has called us to do in Christ. That's why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't have the strength, but Jesus does. That's why we need to have fellowship with him each and every day. That's why I have to learn to walk into his image and walk into his likeness. Because therefore, no matter what I face on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't matter. Because when evil shows up, it's going to see him. When temptation shows up, it's going to see him. Everything that Jesus was about. You're going to be tempted. I'm going to be tempted. Every day in your life, there's three battles you're going to have. The world, the devil, and sin. Every day you wake up. So if you don't want a battle, then don't wake up. Okay? Because every day when you wake up, you're going to have to battle. Every day you're going to wake up, and Paul knew that. That's why he said in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And that wasn't it. And then he went on to talk about putting on the armor. See, we wake up in the morning, we don't put on nothing. We put on clothes, okay, to cover us. And yes, we lived in the Northeast, and we put on more clothes this time of the year than we usually do. But do you put on your armor before you go out that door? Do you put on Christ, okay? And make no provision for the flesh. These are the things of the world, of the word, that we have to understand, that if I'm going to walk in the image and likeness of God, I got to be just like Jesus was. I got to get up early in the morning and pray just like Jesus did. I got to get away from the crowd every once in a while. I got to stop hanging out with everybody every once in a while and get to the place where he was. Because there's one thing that the disciples understood about Jesus. They seen the miracles. They seen him walk on water. They seen him raise the dead. They seen him do all types of other things. But there's one thing they asked Jesus to do. What was that? Lord, teach us to do what? Pray. You know, prayer should not be your last resort. Prayer should be your first resort. But what we do is we wait for the bottom to fall out of our lives. And then it's, oh, God, save me, which is good. Okay? Peter did the same thing when he walked out of the water, stepped out of the boat and got on the water, and then he started looking around. At least he had the sense enough when he was going down to say, Lord, save me. All right? And it doesn't say that Jesus swam, so he must have just picked him up, took him, and put him back in the boat. Try it again later, boy. All right? But that's what I want you to understand, that Jesus was full of grace and he was full of truth, the beloved Son. And another thing about Jesus, if we're going to be conformed into the image and likeness of God, you have to understand Jesus' obedience. One thing about Jesus, he was obedient. All right? When he got baptized in the Jordan, all right? When he went down in the water, first of all, it was told John that the one that the Spirit sets on like a dove, that's him. John knew exactly who Jesus was, right? Because he pointed him out and said, there goes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's him. That's the guy right there. He going to take care of it all for us, which he did, thank God. But the thing of it is that Jesus, when he got baptized in the Jordan, okay, when he came up out of the water, that was one of the times that the Godhead was present on earth, okay? Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit hit him. The heavens opened up, all right? And the Father said what? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus had not did one miracle at that point. He had not did one miracle at that point, but the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Why? Because for 18 years, Jesus walked in total obedience to Mary and Joseph. Jesus walked in total obedience to what was going on in the church and everything for 18 years. That's what Jesus did. So we're going to be conformed into the image and likeness of his Son. If I've been predestined, okay, to be conformed into this image and likeness, one of the things, the number one thing that has to be in your life is obedience. You're going to have to be obedient to the word of God each and every day of your life. You're going to have to be obedient to God even with tears running down your eye. You're going to have to be obedient to God even when you can't see how your tomorrows are going to work out. You got to be obedient to God when you can't see your way. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct our path. That's why Jesus got away and spent time with the Father. Why? Because he had to have his path directed. Yeah, he could have just went on and did his own thing, but he was in complete submission to the Father. And that's what we have to understand. If I am going to be in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, I have to be in complete submission to the Father. And as far as the church is concerned and everything, we have to be in complete submission to the authorities that is in this house. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because the problem with the body of Christ today is we don't want to be under submission of nobody. But we want to be saved. And we want the blessings. And we want the promises. We want this and we want that. Okay, God says, fine, you can have this and you can have that. But I want holiness, I want righteousness, I want obedience, and I want submission to the men of God and women that I have placed over your life. If we're going to be conformed, if I am going to yield to the Holy Spirit, amen, to be shaped into the image, to be shaped, because it was them 18 years of Jesus' obedience that shaped him for his ministry. And I don't know, there's a lot of people in here, you might have heard the voice of God. You might have heard God call you. Yes, he did call you. But that don't mean you're supposed to jump up right now and just go do what he called you to do. All right? Because one thing, you can have a lot of burning, but you better get some learning with that burning. All right? Or you're going to burn right on out. Because that's what it's all about, being conformed into the image and likeness of his Son. Jesus knew the mission, and he never let nothing detract him from the mission. And you can't let anything detract you from your mission. Why do you think the enemy gets so busy in your life all the time? With all types of things, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's your children, a whole bunch of things in your life. Why? Because he's trying to distract you from where you're supposed to be. Because you have to know that Bob was saying earlier that it's a finished work. The cross is a finished work. Your salvation is a finished work. You ain't got to strive to be. You ain't got to strive to be like Christ. All you got to do is yield. That's all we have to do each and every day of our life. Yield to the life. Yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, is that the one you want me to speak to? Lord, is that the door you want me to knock on? Is there going to be fear? Yeah, it is, because we always are fearful of the things. And I always tell you that God will never ask you to do what you can't do. God's always going to ask you to do what you don't want to do. That's what he's going to do, because I don't want to do it. You think I wanted to be a preacher? No, I was having fun doing what I was doing. But if time was up, it's like all of us. We was all have fun doing what we're doing. All right? And I heard a lot of people say, Lord, thank you. You delivered me from a miserable life of sin. You'll never hear that from me. I was having fun doing what I was doing. And if you was living a miserable life of sin, you couldn't even sin right. Right? Come on, let's think about it, all right? Let's think about that one, all right? If you were living a miserable life of sin, you was messing that one up. It's a good thing you did come to Jesus, all right? Or you was messing that all up. But now that you're here, understand that, listen, a long way down the road, before the earth got started, before everything got started, before mama and daddy even looked at each other with a twinkle in the eye, all right? Somebody had a predestination and determination and purpose for my life. Somebody thought about me way down the road. That's why Romans 8, 5 and 8 says that even while we were yet sinners, that Christ went to the cross for us. Even when we didn't even have our mind on Jesus, he had his mind on you. Thank you, Lord. He had his mind on you for a purpose. And thank God that we were born in this day. We wouldn't be able to deal with the Job stuff, okay? We wouldn't be able to deal with the Isaiah and all that stuff getting sawed in half. God knows you all can't deal with that. I know I can't deal with it. I ain't even going front. We couldn't deal with that. But thank God that we were born for this day. Because understand, a relay race, there are four people running that race. All right? We're the fourth leg. All right? And when we cross the finish line, we're all going to celebrate. But understand, church, you were born for this time right now, such a day as this. Just like Esther was born to come to the kingdom for such a time as she came, you were born for such a time as now. Now is your time to rise. Now is your time to do the healing. Now is your time to do the deliverance. Now is your time to be everything in the earth that Jesus Christ was. But it's up to you to step up to the plate. Are you going to step up to the plate to the call of God? We got 21 days. Are you going to step up to the plate these 21 days and afflict your body and afflict your soul? I'm going all out. I'm going juice, water, and broth. That's it, 21 days. All right? No food. That's it. That's it. Because I'm for real about this. I'm tired of playing church, and I'm tired of all this other stuff. I want the power. Okay? I want the power. It's not for me because Don's the great preacher or anything like that. Because I want to see people get healed. I want to see people get delivered. I want to see people get set free in my family, other people's family. I want to see people come off crack. I want to see people stop prostituting. I want to see them guys go to jail and never come back. 23 years since I went back to prison. I went to jail one time. 23 years. So the same God that did it for me is the same God that could do it for them. What has God done for your life? That's your first ministry right there. Whatever God delivered you from. Everybody talk about, I'm saved, I'm saved. How many saved in here? See? Look, all right? Everybody saved. Now, what did God save you from? Okay? See, if you saved, you should have a name to what you saved. If he saved me from fornication, adultery, drugs, alcohol, all that. Okay? A life of crime, the whole nine. See, I put a name to what God saved me from, because if he saved you, you need to be grateful and you need to tell somebody. If you were a burning building and the fireman pulled you out there, you would tell somebody. So why are you so afraid to tell people what God did for your life? He took it all. He took the guilt. He took the shame. He took everything. Don't be ashamed of what you used to be. Be grateful for who you are right now. Ain't no shame in my game. People say that I remember you. I said, yeah, I remember too, but thank God for Jesus. We talk about what I used to do. I know what I used to do. Talk about what I'm doing now. Talk about how I go into the street, how I go into the jail, how we feeding families, how we traveling across this world and across this country. See, they don't want to talk about that. Okay? But my Bible says that he has thrown your that your transgressions is thrown from the east, from the west. They will never touch. All right? Let them go fishing for what you used to do. They ain't going to find it anywhere. All right? But you got to remember, I am being conformed. I am being shaped. I am being molded. And a lot of times you have to understand, a lot of times we have been trained that everything is the devil. My Bible says in John 1 and 3 that he was manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. All right? So if Jesus was manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil, then I ain't got to worry about it no more, because once something is destroyed, it's destroyed. It's not coming back. So if he destroyed the works of the devil, understand this. It ain't always the devil, because you got power over him. All right? Because Colossians said that he made a spectacle of them, the principalities and the powers, when he nailed it up on the cross. He triumphed over that. So you could always say that I am triumphant in Christ. But what I want you to understand, it ain't the devil. It ain't your family. It's God seeing the point sticking out that he need to rub down a little bit, because you're a little bit too sharp with your mouth. So I got to rub that little thing down. See, you're a little bit too sharp with your tongue. You're a little bit too critical in everybody else's life. So now I got to rub you a little bit, because I got to conform you. See, Jesus had compassion for people, but Jesus never let you stay in the place where you was. Remember the woman caught in adultery? She was accused, she was pardoned, but she was not excused from that sin that was in her life. And it ain't no different from us. God is not going to excuse us for the things that we do that are ungodly through our actions, through our tongues, through our looks. You know what I mean? Because if you look a little bit too long, you're going to start walking to it. All right? See, we have to learn to bring ourselves. Paul said that I bring my body into submission. I discipline my own body. Ain't nobody got to discipline me. The Holy Ghost disciplines me. Sometimes before I get ready to say something, boy, don't even say your mouth. Okay. Because you have to learn the voice of the Spirit. You have to learn the voice of the Lord. You have to learn to be obedient to God. Discipline your own body. Bring it into subjection. He said, lest I preach to somebody else and I become a castaway, unqualified. How are we going to be qualified to preach to somebody else and our lives are not in order? Peter says that the judgment of God comes on the house of God first. God is going to judge his people. He always has. And last Sunday when I preached, I told him the two P's, patterns and principles. You could go from Genesis to Revelation and see the pattern and principle of God judging his people throughout that whole thing. God will always judge his people first. He ain't going to judge them people. They don't know who he is. They don't know nothing about judgment. They don't know nothing about the righteous judge, but we do. Look at David. Psalm 66, go to Psalms 119. Let me show you something. And I hope that as you allow the Lord to conform your life, that your prayer life will be changed, okay? Because I know we all want this. Lord, I want a husband. You got half the church praying for a husband, the other half trying to get rid of him, okay? But I hope that your prayer life will change, okay? That you can see that, Lord, I want you to do this to me, all right? Okay, Psalms 119, verse 65. He says, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. All right? See the psalmist? Got out of line of God. The psalmist was in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing, okay? But one thing he knew about God was God's righteous judgment. He said before, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But guess what? Now I'll keep your word. See, in this thing about being conformed in the image and likeness of God, guess what? There's going to be some affliction in your life. There's going to be some affliction. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because not only did he just get the little cliff, he got the rod too. All right? That's why he was able to say in Psalms 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. You got to know who you're serving in this thing. Because sometimes you are going to make mistakes. Sometimes you are going to say the wrong thing. Saved, anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost and everything else, okay? But you have to remember, repentance is the first thing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, number one, to forgive us of our sins and then to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We serve a righteous God. We don't serve an unrighteous God. We serve a good God. Because he's trying to get us to walk like Jesus. Look at Abraham dropped the ball, David dropped the ball, Jacob dropped the ball. Everybody dropped the ball except for Jesus. See, they're not, he's not trying to conform you into any one of them, although you should look at their life. David was called a man after God's own heart. But it's Jesus is the one that God's trying to get you in that mold. Okay? Because, see, we want to wear a cross, but we don't want to get on the cross. See, because the cross is painful. All right? Before the cross was painful. The whip, the scourging, everything else. No other man would have made it except for Jesus. The beating that he got was enough to kill the average man. But he had purpose, just like you got purpose. His purpose was to be the savior of this world. The Bible says God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whomever shall believe, right, shall not perish but have everlasting life. All right? Verse 68 says, and you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Church, you have to consecrate yourself to God. Don't let this fasting just be a time that you're going to lose weight. This ain't no diet, okay? All right? This is the time of consecrating yourself to God. This is the time of, like I said, changing your prayer life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts and my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, that's the prayers we have to pray. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, and I will praise you and glorify you forevermore. For great is your mercy towards me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, which is hell. See, they're the prayers that we have to pray. Go through the Psalms. That's how I know all this stuff. Because if you stay in the book, you'll know how to pray to God. He's going to honor his word more than he is, God, give me more, give me more. Because God's already given you more than you know how to handle. Because we're supposed to be good stewards of the stuff that God has already given us. And the reason why you can't get more, because you ain't taking care of what I already given you. So why am I going to give you more? Think about it. Why is God going to give you more if you are not taking care of everything that I've already given you? Everything you need is within you. He said the kingdom is within. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that lives inside of you. You have everything you need. You have the mind of Christ. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Corinthians says, we have the mind of Christ. Amen? There wasn't nothing wrong with Jesus' mind. See, there is no sickness in the head. The sickness is in the body. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, grow up to the head, which is Christ. He is the example. He's the standard. Not me. Man is not your standard. God is your standard. See, because it was never God's desire that a man would save you, but it's always God's desire that a man or woman of God would lead you. All right? But only those who have been through, like myself and others, that is willing to speak to you, not only about our victories, but about our faults, about our weaknesses, about the times when we messed up. All right? But it's not how you fall. Are you going to get back up? See, that's the thing. Are you going to get back up? And it's not about falling, because the Bible says, he now unto him who can prevent you from falling. So God can keep you, but the thing of it is, do you want to be kept? Amen? All right. Now it says that I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. All right? And then he goes on about this thing about their heart is fat as grease, but I delight in you, Lord. It was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. When's the last time you said to God, thank you for beating my butt, God? I knew that was you. Huh? When's the last time you prayed that prayer? Thank you. When's the last one you said, thank you, God, because you made me cry all night. Thank you, God, you kept me up all night. Thank you, Jesus, that I didn't get no sleep. See, we don't pray them prayers. But see, if you're going to be conformed into the image and likeness of God, it's just like going through the birth canal. That baby going through the birth canal, man. That's why you got to push. That whole thing about pushing. Because with this thing about being conformed into the image and likeness of Christ, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your spirit. It's going to hurt your body. It's going to hurt your mind. It's going to hurt everything about you. Because God is going to squeeze every bit of the world, every bit of you out of you, every bit of untruth, everything that does not line up to this word, it's coming out. And this whole thing about being conformed into the image and likeness of Christ, you're going to go through it. Okay? You're going to go through it. Mothers go through it. Anybody had had children here? Okay? All you that do that natural thing, praise God for you. All right? But mothers, you know that the pain that you go through, but once the pain is over, the joy of the birth is what it's all about. So don't worry about the pain that you're going to have to go through. Don't worry about the friends that you're going to have to separate from. Don't worry about the family people that don't understand you right now that you're going to have to separate, but they're going to come along with you. But see, the thing of it is, a lot of times we have this false demonstration of who we say that we really are. Because we allow the flaws in our character to step forward ahead of us more than the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons and daughters of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God each and every day of our life. The way that we deal with each other, especially in the church, we definitely got to get it right. Because all that gossiping, all that backbiting, and all that stuff, that's definitely of the devil. I'm going to tell you that. That is the work of the enemy. Okay? Because Jesus said the world will know that you are my disciples by the way that you love one another. The love that we show to one another, the way that we express the love to one another. It didn't say that we are always going to agree with one another. Anybody that's married, no, you don't agree with each other all the time. Amen. You don't agree with each other all the time, but I love my wife, okay? I don't agree with her all the time, and I know she definitely don't agree with me all the time. But I love her and she loves me. Okay? So we work it out. All right? And it's the same way with the love in the church. We're not always going to agree with each other. The musicians don't always agree on songs because Bob was supposed to play a song today and he didn't play it. All right? But they don't always agree on stuff. All right? Get that out of your head that we always got to agree on everything. All right? Because all that is an unresolved issue in your life. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. I don't like the way they worship it tonight. Why they got to preach like that? They preaching too long. They doing this. That's an unresolved issue in you. That's something that you have to take care of. Because if you're always complaining, and nitpicking, there's something wrong. Instead of the peace of God being over you. Instead of being thankful, we got to get back to the place where I'm thankful to be saved. How many is thankful to be saved? For real. But my wife will tell you, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm the happiest person on earth. Okay? She can't understand it. Why are you so happy 5 o'clock in the morning? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Nobody can be this happy. I am. Why? Because I'm saved. I love the Lord. I got the Spirit of God living inside of me. Okay? This fast. Okay? 3 days. I'm going to be like everybody else. Headaches and everything until all the sugar goes out. After 3 days, I'm going to be like the Energizer Bunny. She can't understand it. Everybody else is, oh, my God, this is killing me. And I'm like, praise the Lord, everybody. Let's do this. Why? Because I got the Spirit of Christ living in me. And I want to be conformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. How did Jesus do it? 40 days. Could you imagine 40 days? And under attack. Not only 40 days, but 40 days of being under attack. The first one was, if you be the Son of God, okay, turn this stone into bread. Now, God just said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. The first thing the devil speaks to you in the wilderness is, if you be. See, doubt, just like he did with Eve. If you be the Son, God just said, this is my Son, right? But the first thing the enemy's always going to make you do in this fast, let me help you out, is that he's going to make you try to make your own bread. All right? He's going to make you get ahead of God and make your own provision. Try to make you do things ahead of God. Don't do it. Do the same thing Jesus said. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. All right? We have to learn. That's the first thing the enemy's going to do in this fast, is try to make you get ahead of God. And don't let him do it. All right? Don't let him do it. Let God lead you into the place of provision. Let God lead you into the place that he wants you to be. Not the place that looks good, or not the place that you want to be. Because remember, we're being conformed. Why? Because he foreknew me and he predestined. You have a predestined life. A predestined life, the good life. Ephesians 2 and 10, that says that we are his workmanship. The Amplified says, recreated in Christ Jesus for good works. Taking the, you got an Amplified Bible? Oh, somebody does over there. Taking the path that God has prepared beforehand, all right? Living the good life. God has a good life for us to live. Amen? And it's all in Christ. So we have to understand, yeah, Lord, make me quicker. Make me faster. Shape me, Lord, into this image and in this likeness. Why? So that the rest of the world can see who you are through me. Because it's all about him, man. It ain't about us. See, we got to get out of the way and allow God to operate in our lives. Because we have some good people in this church. Very, very good people in this church. You're a good person. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not a good person. You might manifest some of your own nature every once in a while, but you got to deal with that, because that's all part of this being conformed. All right? Don't stay there. All right? If you know that I'm at a place with God, or I've said something, I've done something, don't stay there. Just ask for forgiveness and move on and move into the place. But there's a predetermined destination for your life. The thing of it is, do you want it all? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want God to change your life into the image and likeness of Jesus? That is such a powerful thing when you think about it, that every day of my life, the Holy Spirit is shaping me. Every day of my life, he's changing me. Every day of my life, he's renewing me. Every day of my life, he's conforming me into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. You know, before it was Michael Jordan. Everybody wanted to be like Mike. That was nice. I didn't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Jesus. Because if we look in the sports arena now, all our archons are falling. If it ain't drugs, if it ain't immorality, if it ain't gambling, if it ain't this, if it ain't that, they're all falling. Everybody that we put our trust in, the government, Spitzer, the governor, he fell. The governor of North Carolina, he fell. So why are we putting so much stock? Why are we putting so much interest? Not that I don't love my government or anything else, but I don't hold them above my king. Amen? And that's what we have to understand. We cannot hold anything above our king but our king. Why? Because he is the King of Kings. And I want to be just like him in every area of my life, every day of my life. And it's not that we can't do it. It's just that we don't see ourselves doing it. We don't see ourselves according to this scripture, that I was predestined. Somebody foreknew me ahead of time and prepared a way for me through that cross, through his spirit, through the word, through fellowship, through the love of the saints. I'm being shaped every day. Be thankful that you have somebody that gets up in your face. Be thankful that you have somebody that calls you to the side and says, come here, can I talk to you? You know, the way you just dealt with that situation is not the way that godly people deal with the situation. That relationship that you have, I can see God is not in that. You need to check that relationship. Thank God you got people like that, that are willing to do that. I'm serious. Young people, thank God that you got somebody speaking into your lives. Why? Because we don't want you to go through the same heartache and heartbreak that we went through. If we can save you, if I open up this floor for testimony, I'm sure they can tell you a whole lot of heartbreak and a whole lot of heartache that you probably won't be able to handle. But thank God for the place. See, this is all part of your predestination. This is all part of you being shaped, made, and molded into the body of Christ. No one to control your life. Nobody wants to control your life, but we don't want to see you fall in a ditch either. Because Jesus dealt with that in Matthew 15. When he was saying that these people confess me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far away from me. Why? Because the traditions of the religious leaders. They feared the doctrines of men and traditions of men more than they feared God. And Jesus said, leave them alone, because they're blind leaders. When you think the blind lead the blind, they're going to fall in the ditch. What do you think, the world made that up? No, Jesus said that. They just use it more than we do. That's all. Most of the stuff you hear in this world, they got it from the Bible. There's a lot of stuff that these little sayings you hear in the world, they got it all right from here. Right from here. Here we are saved, born again, going to heaven, and we don't know none of this. But be grateful for where you are. All right? Be grateful that I'm being conformed, that my life is being transformed each and every day. I might not understand it. Listen, I still don't understand everything that God does in my life, but you know what I did? I learned to yield to the things that God done in my life. Right? Because it's like slamming your hand in the car door. You only gonna do that once if you got sense. Okay? Because I don't do pain well. I don't know about anybody else. I don't do pain well. And I know some people, pain after pain, I just don't understand that. That's you. I do not do that, okay? And I don't do it well, so I try to stay away from the pain thing. So I know that when God grabs a hold of me, I say, okay, God, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, let's get this over with, okay? Because I don't like it. Let's do it, because it has to be done, but let's get it over with. So you got to know when God got you, all right? That's why he told Jeremiah, listen, go down to the potter, okay? Go down to the potter's house and watch him spin the wheel. Because a lot of you are in God's hands right now. And even when the potter messed up, he didn't take the clay and throw it away. He took it back and he reshaped it into something new. And that's what God's trying to do in your life. He's trying to get rid of all that old stuff and shape you into something new. All right? But a lot of you want to be pretty little vases that just hold flowers. But no, God says, I need the little teacups that want to take some heat. All right? I need some teacups that's going to take some heat. But see, that's the stuff that we don't like because we've been trained by the world with all the fluff, all the niceties, and all the other stuff. It's not always like that. Sometimes we're going to have to suffer for Christ because if God was long-suffering with us, then we have to learn to be so long-suffering with other people. Amen? Because that's what Christianity is all about. It ain't the love boat, okay? This is the battleship that you're on, and people are shooting live rounds at you. All right? So take that love boat mentality and scrap that one. All right? Because you're being shaped for war, to fight. Because we are in the army. We sing them songs. Okay, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. We get all into it. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. But as soon as the battle comes, you want to retreat. Okay? We want to run. But if you notice in that whole thing about the armor, it doesn't say anything about your back. Why? Because we ain't supposed to retreat. Okay? Satan can only defeat a retreating army. He can't defeat an army that's advancing. And that's the way we're supposed to be. Every day of your life, let me advance a little bit more. Yeah, you're going to get knocked down. Yeah, you're going to get wounded and everything else. But we got people to patch you up and get you back in the place where you want to be or supposed to be. But don't stay down. We're being conformed. Say, I'm being conformed. See, sometimes you got to declare some things in your life in order to understand. Say, today, I'm giving my life to Jesus that I may be conformed into his image and into his likeness. No matter what I got to go through, no matter how tough it may seem, I won't quit, I won't cave in, and I won't give up. Come on and bless the Lord, because we ain't giving up. Come on and bless the Lord, because we ain't giving up. We came too far to give up. I done come through too much to give up. I ain't turning back now. I ain't turning back now. So you got to get a determination in your spirit that I ain't turning back. No more. I ain't turning back on God. I might have turned my back on him before, but I ain't turning my back on God this year. I ain't turning my back on God. I ain't turning my back on the church. I'm not turning my back on my brothers and my sisters. I ain't going to talk about them. If I can't bless them, I'm going to pray for them. Listen, when you hear something that's negative about somebody, put it under the blood. Don't open up your mouth. Put it under the blood. Why? Because the blood can cleanse it. The blood can purify it. The blood can do everything you can't do. Hezekiah Walker sang that song that I need you to survive. I need you. You need me. Talking about the body of Christ. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. The Bible says death and life in the power of your tongue. You can murder your brother. You can murder your sister with your tongue. James said about the tongue, it's like a spring where bitter water and sweet water come from the same place. He said, these things ought not be so. These things ought not be so, brothers and sisters. We should not bless the Lord one day and cuss our sister and brother the next day. He said, who were created in the similitude of God. They look just like God. So that means you cussing God. Could you imagine sometimes, because we don't think about that when we talk about people. If I'm creating the same image and likeness of God and I speak ill of somebody, I'm saying, God, I don't like what you make. Same way we're talking about preachers. How much nerve we got to talk about a preacher? God, I don't like what you got up there. Well, who are you? I called him. I didn't call you. But we have to understand that I am being conformed in the image and likeness of God, which means that I'm going to be in relationship with God. I'm going to be in obedience with God. And everything about my life is going to reflect Jesus Christ. And everything that doesn't reflect Jesus Christ, it's time for us to get rid of it. And my prayer is really that you allow this fast, okay, to be like the refiner's fire, all right? That it erase everything in your life, all unresolved issues, all the unforgiveness, all the bitterness, all the envy, all the jealousy, all the stuff that is down inside of you that you have buried from years ago, from children, abuse, and everything else. You cannot change your past, all right? And it's not letting anybody off the hook or anything. Because you got to remember, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. There's a judgment day for everybody. But you, as an individual, can move forward in your life. Because as long as you're looking backwards, you're never going to move forward. And the prayer is today that all the impurities that were in your life, because see, silver and gold are impure metals, all right? That's why they have to be under intense heat so that the dross comes up. The dross is the impurities of their life, of that's in the metal. So all the impurities that might be in your life, that they would surface to the top and that God would continue to scoop them off, because that's what a goldsmith does. When the impurities come up, he scrapes it off, he throws it out until he can look over and see his reflection in that gold, until he can see his face. And my prayer for you is that God will do that for you until he can look in your life and see the reflection of his face in your life. That's my prayer for this church. And I mean it. That's my prayer for this church, that we be the image of Christ, that whatever it takes to be conformed into this image, whatever it takes that we have to go through as individuals and even corporately, whatever it takes to get to that place that this world could see King's fire, all right? As the true people of God. Not that we're trying to upstage our brothers and sisters or any other church. It ain't about that. It's about here. I'm a pastor here. I'm not a pastor anywhere else, okay? So I don't care about what goes on. My father always used to tell us, don't tell me what goes on in Billy's house. You live in this house, okay? So the same thing. We don't care what's going on in somebody else's house. We care about this house, all right? We care about getting it right here first. So therefore, other people will say, how do you all do that, all right? Because there's other people searching too. But as long as we hammering each other, we're never going to get it worked out in our lives. And that's what it's all about. Let us stand to our feet. Let us just stand to our feet. Lord, on the authority of your word, O God, because your word is full of authority, it's full of power, O God. You said that you foreknew us, O God, and you predestined us, O Lord, to be conformed into the image and likeness of your dear Son, dear God. So, dear God, all the sickness, all the disease, dear God, all the afflictions, oh God, all the sin, everything else, dear God, we give it to you right now, dear God. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that all those who are struggling, oh Lord, will come to you right now. If there's anybody in this house, first of all, who don't know Jesus Christ, or don't know what I was talking about, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave his life for you on a cross. And they buried him, and he rose again with all power in his hand to free your life of any power of sin, any affliction, or anything that was in your life to set you free with everything in your life. So if there's anyone here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sins, I ask you to come today and give your life to Jesus. You don't have to understand everything, because you got people here that will train you in the ways of the Lord. But we don't want nobody to leave here uncovered, or nobody has never had an opportunity to give their life to the Lord. If there's anybody here tonight, it looks like everybody is the people of God. Amen. But I want to pray tonight with you and pray for you tonight that I want you to be honest with yourself tonight. All right? This ain't got nothing to do with me. Be honest with yourself tonight about your relationship with Jesus. If you know, according to this word, that God, I need you to shape me. I need you to make me. I need you to mold me, God. There's areas in my life that I'm not so proud of, God, but I know that your loving hand, your compassion hand is able to do all things. I know there's areas in my life, dear God, that I haven't surrendered, but I want to surrender them tonight. God, I know that there's areas in my life, dear God, that are challenging me, but I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, I want to lay it all on the altar tonight, oh God. I want to just put it all down, dear God. And I want you to start the work in me, dear God. I want you to start shaping me. I want you to start molding me, dear God. I want you to start speaking to me, God. I want you to start doing them things to me, dear God, that's going to make me look like Jesus in everything that I do, in my walk, in my talk, in the way I respond, in the way that I do everything, God. Because my heart's desire, oh God, is to be pleasing to you, Father. I want to know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of you, oh God. And if you don't know that, and if that's you, come on. Come on. Don't be afraid. Come on. This is a new year, and we're going to start out doing things right for God, doing things with God. Come on. You ain't got to. This ain't about shaming nobody. This is about you getting right with God. This is about you putting it all down, man. This is about you looking into your life. Okay, close your eyes. This ain't about nobody else. This is about you. Only you know what is going on in your life. Only you know what you have to deal with. Only you know what you've been battling with. Listen, the struggle's over. The work is finished on the cross. There is no more fight. The only fight is in you because you keep resisting God. That's the fight. You keep resisting God. That's why you keep fighting, because you don't want to surrender. But tonight's the night of surrender. There's no more sleepless nights. There's no more agony in the heart. There's no more anxiety or feeling bad. Because why? I'm giving it all up tonight. God, we're coming to you, oh God, that you may strip us down, dear God. Take us down to the bare metal, oh God, to the bare bone, oh God. Restart a new thing in us, dear God. Bring the wrecking ball tonight, oh God. Destroy everything, dear Lord, tonight, dear God. And start it all over, Lord. Because we know whatever you do, dear God, is forever and it is finished, oh God. So come.